You know, isn't that a great reminder that we have a God who is still working today in those baptisms that you just saw taking place there? Let's just praise God one more time for what he's doing and continues to do as well. I want to welcome you, say thanks for coming, join us at Fox River, those of us here in Waukesha, as well as those who are also at our multi-site in Waterford, and those who will be joining us as well watching online. We've got a road trip that we're on here, and we're just about wrapping up, as Pastor Guy even mentioned. And so one of the things when we have a trip of any kind, or just generally in life, we have things that we want to take away, don't we? How many of you would say you have a fairly good memory? It's not hard for you to memorize things, to remember things. You know, you're the type of person who, when you took a test, you just had to look the notes over for maybe 10 minutes or so, and you're good to go. Anybody like that in the room? Good. Oh, there's a few people to hate on, aren't there? Okay. All right. Oh, my goodness. Didn't they just frustrate you? How many of you would be the opposite? You'd say, you know, I'm the type of person who, when I go and meet someone new, and we exchange names, I find myself like 3 seconds later thinking, oh no, I can't call them by their name. So you have your go-to name, right? Like Guy, that doesn't work with Guy too well. Well, it works real well, doesn't it, there? You know, or pal or bud or something like that for the men in the room at least. And it's like, wow, it went in and it just went out. And it's like, how do I avoid that embarrassing moment the next time that that's going to happen? And we struggle with those things sometimes. Well, you know what? So what we do is many times we do things to help us. You know, some people say, well, repeat it as many times as you can, and or do a word association of some kind or something else. There's this old thing even. I still don't know quite how it works. You ever been told to do something with this? If you want to remember something? This is string, by the way. What are you supposed to do with this? Tie it to your finger, right? Why would that be? So you take a little piece and you're like, I need to remember something. I really, really need to remember something by the end of the service. So I'm going to tie, which is really hard anyways, right? It's like, okay, I need two hands to tie a knot. So it's like, tie this thing to my finger, and then I guess it's a visual. So when I look at it, if I see it again, then I'll remember it. Not a bad idea. I'm going to make it a little simpler for you. We've got a key word here that we're going to look at today because of our road trip. When Jesus started this road trip, as well as when he ended it, he had two things that he used there to help us remember one thing. And we're going to get to the one thing. But, you know, repetition is a little bit of helping us remember. Having key words, knowing where you're going before you start even, those are all things to help us remember. So I'm going to give you a key word. And for those of you who are like me that are like, no, I'm afraid I might forget it, I'm going to encourage you to write it down, okay? And I'm going to make it so simple you will not be able to forget it at all right? So here's the key word for you to remember. The word is remember. You think you can handle that? Okay, so let's say it together. The key word is what? Remember. What we're going to be talking about is remembering, because God wants us to remember to remember. It's like, okay, I'm already confused. What are you talking about? God wants us to remember what the road trip is about that we've been on. Because Jesus came to this earth for a reason. And he started what was called his public ministry for a reason. And he gives us that. And then at the very end, he sits his disciples down, has a discussion with them to kind of repeat so that they don't forget. Because there are things that need to be remembered. As I mentioned, on a road trip, we might do different things. We don't usually tie a ring around our fingers, but you know what? We get out the old notebook, get out a pen, you know, and we write a few things. Maybe you write day one, and then you put all the special events. Anybody keep a journal when you go on a road trip? Maybe now you call it a blog, okay? So, you know, you put a few things down. Some of us come back with maybe a souvenir. This is a very special one to me. It was actually given to me by a friend in South Africa. Notice I left the note on there because that's probably even more special than the souvenir itself. Because it says simply, Pastor Warnell from Pastor John and his family. Just a great, great relationship. You know why I left that on there? It's taped on. Can you believe that? So if you were to walk into my office, you'd see there, you'd be thinking, what in the world? That's got a handwritten piece of paper taped to it. What's that for? Because if I put this on my shelf without that, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to forget who gave it to me, aren't I? And I want to remember that. I want to not forget. The probably easiest thing that we do, and one of the best things we do when we want to remember, we get something like this out, don't we? nowadays, right? We turn it on, and there's this nice little picture on the front, usually, that looks like what, do you suppose? You don't know yet? It looks like a camera. And this is what we do. Go like that, right? And we're like, I want to remember this moment here, okay? Yeah, smile, okay? Make sure you're smiling. I'm going to put this on Facebook in a minute, okay? No, not really. And we take a snapshot. Why? Because visually it prompts us what we were doing. And so we go ahead, we take a picture. We've all turned into photographers, haven't we? And if you're a real photographer, you have an issue with that because we haven't turned into photographers. We've turned into picture takers. Some of us are picture takers, some of us are photographers. I'm a picture taker. You'll notice that, right? It's like, okay, but we want to be prompted of the important things in life. And so we go ahead and we do things that will help us with those. Well, God gives us some prompters. And he says, I want you to use these prompters. And he did them himself. And he wants us to be involved with them as well. Why? Because some things we want to remember. Other things were never intended to be forgotten. And one of those things that was never, ever intended to be forgotten is what's called the gospel or the good news. Simply this, that Jesus Christ went on this road trip so that he could die on the cross for our sins, rise from the dead to save us. He doesn't want us to forget that. He wants us to understand it. He wants us to tell others about it. He wants us to be encouraged about his working that's taking place. And so what he did was he gave us some very tangible and experiential type of things to help us so that we don't forget that he has worked and he's still working. And we call these the ordinances. Fancy word here, okay? Don't get caught up in the ordinances. I thought, well, I'll put it in there so you can have a word to impress somebody else with, okay? But just think reminders. He gave us some reminders that we never, ever forget. Just like this thing on my finger. What is this supposed to do? It's to remind me of our key word, which is what? Remember. He wants me to remember to remember. And so he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to start my ministry in a very special way. And that is going to help you to remember God's working and God's goodness to us. There's two of these ordinances or two of these reminders. One is going to be a one-time thing in our lives. The other is going to be an ongoing. The one takes place at Jesus' ministry at the very beginning. The other one's going to come up at the very end. Two of them, very special, very moment, very spiritual times. They're kind of like pictures, but better because pictures only spark the memory through the visual. These other two, like I said, are going to be very experiential. We can feel them even. One of them you can even taste. And so it's like, wow, this is something that he wanted to stick. And so what he does is he starts with the first one, and it's called baptism. You've heard us talk about baptism. We have great opportunity this day to be involved in both of these ordinances or reminders. We're going to go out to the lake this afternoon. Many people are going to participate in baptism. Now, when we talk about baptism, most Christians, and even if you're not a Christian, you can probably agree with the statement that, you know, it's an important thing. You may not be convinced of it yet, though, but to understand that it's one of the clearest things that God asks us to do. In fact, let me illustrate that this way. How many of you would say, I think, or maybe even as strong as, I believe the Bible would say that all Christians should get baptized? How many of you would say, I think I can agree with that statement? You don't even have to be a Christian to believe that statement, right? Because then you can just say, well, I don't need to be, but you do because you're a Christian. And if you're a Christian, you should get baptized. Not much argument there, is there? It's like, yeah, we should get baptized. Now, when you start to talk a little more in detail about what that is, it can change things. Because even if I were to ask, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand on this, but if I were to ask, have you been baptized? Likelihood is at least every single hand that just went up would go up again, and maybe a few more, okay? You see, the debate isn't usually, does a Christian need to be baptized? But when that baptism takes place, that can strike some pretty strong opinion, can't it? Baptism can have some real strong opinion to it. And the reason I use opinion is because sometimes it's weighted in what the scripture says, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's the way that we've been brought up. And so Let's talk about that just for a minute, because we are having one that's taking place, like I said, this afternoon. You might want to consider being a part of it. Maybe it's been on your radar. Maybe you're on the fence about it. Maybe not. But Acts chapter 2 is one of the clearest passages that talks about baptism. And it's going to talk about and answer the question, really, when should a person be baptized? Because that's really the part that can be debated a little bit here. So let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 41. It says, those who accepted his message were what? Baptized. Now catch this. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Anybody else think, that's a lot, I would say, right? That's more than we have in this room. That's more than we'll have all combined this weekend. 3,000 people. Now, there's a very key word here. Did you catch it? It says what? Those who accepted his message were baptized. So when we talk about baptism, we don't just say baptism, because that can be a little confusing. When we talk about baptism, we're talking about believers' baptism. Because you notice the order of things? There is an order of things here, isn't it? There were only certain people who were getting baptized. Did you catch who those were? Who were they? Those who had accepted the message. So if you accepted the message, then you were to go get baptized. So what he's saying here is, after you've become a believer, get baptized. Here's why. Because baptism is a remembrance of God's working in your life. In particular, remember to remember that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And so after you personally have accepted that message, then he says, you should get baptized. Go get baptized. Why? Because the baptism is a picture. It's a remembrance for you. It's also going public or identifying yourself with other believers. It's saying, I'm one of the other believers, and I want other people to know that. It's a very special time in a person's life, usually, when that takes place, because of all the spiritual elements that go into this. But baptism is a unique and memorable way of identifying as a Christ follower and with other Christ followers. And so he set up this ordinance, this reminder, this remembrance for us is why he did that, because he wants it to be a special moment. Now, we can get confused sometimes thinking, well, you know what, that's what saves me. That's not what saves you. Otherwise, Jesus didn't need to die on a cross. That would have been a waste. We could have just put you under some water, and we would have been good to go. And so what he's doing is saying, you know what, this baptism is actually a picture of that in a couple ways. One is it entails water. Great picture of washing. Washing away of our sin. No one can see the sins get washed away, though. It's not like they kind of, you know, muddy the water after you're done. No, you don't get to see that. And so he gave a picture. You go down into the water, representing that's what Jesus did, is he died, he was buried, and then you come up out of the water, he was resurrected. He came back to life. He needed to come back to life in order for us to be saved. And so entering into and participating in believers' baptism is saying, that's what I am placing my faith in, I'm placing my trust in. Not the water, not the baptism, but in Jesus. That's what I'm doing. He's saying, that's one of our reminders that I have for you. You'll see every single time, this is just one of the passages, you'll see every single time that you see an example of baptism in the Bible, it was after a person had believed. They believed and they were baptized. In fact, in what's called the Great Commission, Jesus commands us, go and make disciples. In other words, help people to receive the message, to believe. And then guess what he immediately tells them to do? Baptize them. Baptize them. Because it is an identifier that we're saying, I'm a Christ follower. I'm with you on this, with other Christ followers. And so Jesus thought so much of it that he decided to do it himself. Let me ask you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Mark. That's where we're at in our road trip. We're going to start in the beginning, just a little review, but I want to show you what Jesus did. In the start of his ministry in Mark chapter 1, we're going to see what took place here. Very special moment. It would be one of those moments, you know, maybe you go through the same thing when I'm reading my Bible. It's like, wow, I'd like to be there for that one. Oh, I'd really like to be there for that one. Well, I hope he doesn't just say, hey, I get to only see a few highlight reels, you know, when I get to heaven. I'd like to see all these things take place. This is one of those pieces right here. Because in Mark chapter 1, verse number 9, and he just does it briefly. He doesn't give great description on it even. This is what Mark says. At that time is the beginning of the road trip, beginning of Jesus' ministry. It says, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was what? Baptized by John in the Jordan River, out in public for everybody to see. He had John baptize him. A very special moment. Why? Do you think Jesus needed to be baptized? No, he didn't. He didn't need to say, I accept or I believe that I'm going to die on a cross. He knew that was going to happen. He didn't need to say, oh, I need to be saved. He wasn't a sinner. So what was he saying? He's saying, I'm going to do something that I want every Christ follower to do after me as well. I'm going to be baptized. And so he's baptized. Can you imagine being the person who baptized Jesus? Can you imagine being John the Baptist? That would be very intimidating, wouldn't it? He'd be like, you got to be kidding me. We'd probably respond the same way John did. You know what John said? He said, I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me. It would be a scary thing. I'm baptizing Jesus? And we'd be thinking probably the same thing. Why am I doing this? Because Jesus wanted every one of us to say, you know what? This is something that I want you to do. But realize, you know what? We find ourselves in one of three places when it comes to this, doesn't it? And each of those elicit a different response. One of three responses. Because there's some of us that are in a place that I'm going to call uncertain. We're still in that place of, I don't know if I've accepted the message yet. You may not have. That's the beautiful thing about Fox River is we embrace people who haven't accepted the message yet. We're like, come. Come find out who God is. Come find out who Jesus is. Enter into the conversation. Let's talk a little bit about who he is and his love and what he's done for us. And so you may be in that place of uncertainty. And so for you, what does that mean your response needs to be? Should you go get baptized? Not unless something else happens first. What? You need to believe first. So for you, God is challenging you. Believe. Trust me. And then, as soon as you can after that, go ahead and get baptized, letting everyone know that you trust me. That's one group. You may be there. And I hope even today that you'll trust Christ enough to say, I do believe that you are who you say you are and that you have that ability and have exercised that ability to die on the cross to pay for my sins. And I trust you as my Savior. I accept that message. There's some, though, who aren't just uncertain. Maybe they're past the uncertainty, but you're still unbaptized. You haven't been baptized yet. Maybe you haven't been baptized at all, or maybe you haven't been baptized since you've become a believer. You know what God tells you to do? Go public. Make it public. Let everyone know. Don't care if you became a follower 20 years ago. Don't care if it was yesterday. Don't care if it happens right now. But go public with it. Do it. Let everyone know. Don't be ashamed of it. You have an opportunity, as we talked about, just this afternoon. So what I'd encourage you to do is if you're still trying to check this out, figure it out, go talk to Guy right after service. That's all we're doing. Enter in the conversation. Find out a little bit more about baptism, or if you're like, you know what, God is prompting me. He wants me to do this. Come to that informational meeting right after service, and whether it be at the lake, whether it be some other time, do what God asks you to do. Just do it. Now, there's another group of people, isn't there? Because there are some, and I would fall under this camp, who probably have checked out right now saying, man, he's talking about the people who don't know him, right? He's talking about the people who know him but haven't been baptized. But I've been baptized. I'm good to go. Well, then leave, would you please? You don't need to be here today. No. Because we have a response too, right? We do. What is it? Why do I have the string on my finger? Because I need to what? Remember. You see, what was happening and should have been happening to every Christ follower's life who has received Christ, they've believed and they've been baptized, when they're seeing all those other baptisms, if you're sitting there saying, wow, I did that a long time ago, what's the problem with these people? You got a problem. Because what should be taking place is you're remembering what Jesus has done for you and is doing for you. Isn't it great to celebrate that? To be able to say, wow, our God is still working. You know, one of the greatest things for a pastor, at least, and probably for many others about baptism, is getting to throw people under the water. No. The great thing is this. You get to hear the working of God in people's lives. Because they naturally tell you. Isn't it great when you hear God's working? This isn't a baptism story, but just this last Friday night, we went out to something called Jammin' on Janesville in Muskego because we wanted to get the word out about Fox River Christian Muskego. Put a bounce house, did some frappuccinos, did some other things, just had a great time. And as we're out there, we struck up some conversations. You never know what's going to happen. But you see God work, and there's some special God moments that take place. And so as I'm saying there, a guy's walking down, you know, he's already got a drink in his hand, but he sees the frappe sign. And he's like, what's a frappe? And he wasn't talking to me, but I'm like, you know what, I know what a frappe is. I think, God, you're telling me to answer his question, okay? I'm like, it is a great drink. You just need to try one. We're selling them for $1, okay? You know, it's cheap. It's basically we're giving them away. Try one. So he's kind of like, I'm not sure. Like I said, he already has a drink in one hand already. So it's like, no, okay. So he goes over there. So then I'm still seeing him over there, you know, so I walk up to him. And he looks at this shirt I have on, and it is like fluorescent green. And guess what it says on it? Fox River Christian Church, come as you are. Guess what? There's like 50 people with those same shirts on. So he observed something. It's like, wow. He goes, Fox River Christian Church, is that on 36? I'm like, no, it's not on 36. It's on 164 in Waukesha right now. But guess what? We're going to be in Muskego, the old movie theater there. He goes, you know what? And you can tell he started to choke back a little bit. He says, I used to go to church. He said, some bad things happened, though. He said, it's been 6 years since I've gone to church. 6 years. You know what's happening there? God is what's happening there, right? It's like, I couldn't have orchestrated that. And you know what his next words were? When you open it up, because I'm going to be there. The guy hasn't been to church in 6 years. And all I did was stand out in a parking lot with a fluorescent. Anybody want to join me next time? We'll just put on fluorescent t-shirts and walk around, okay? If that happens every time, I'm in. That's a God thing. You know what happens when people get baptized? You see something the same on every person when they came out of that water? What was it? A great big what? Smile. Do you know why? Because God moments are taking place, and they're remembering the God moments that got them to that place. That's a special thing. It's a very special thing. So if you haven't, look forward to that special thing and participate in it. If you have, celebrate it. And if you don't know anyone who's been baptized recently, then get around some people who don't know him so that you can have a God moment take place in your life, and God can use you to share with them who Jesus is so that you can see those God moments and hear about them and that they can be very, very special. And God never wants us to forget those very, very special times. He wants us to remember. That's our first one. As I mentioned, there are actually two reminders. And the second we see at the end of the road trip. So if you're in Mark, go ahead, turn near the end. Go over to chapter 14. And what we're going to see here is Jesus gets his disciples together, just the 12, not everyone else. They go to a room to celebrate what really is a very special moment that every Jewish person would celebrate, and that's the Passover dinner. For us, we participate in something else, and that's because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's called the Lord's Supper. That's our second reminder. As I mentioned, the first one-time thing that God asks of you, go through believer's baptism. This one he wants us to do regularly. Fox River, we do it every single month. That's the Lord's Supper. In fact, in the passage here, you might find another description. If you see the pictures on the wall, you'll hear them described as something else. What is it? The what supper? The last supper, because it will be the last supper that Jesus has with his disciples, because he's going to go to the cross very, very soon here. The end of the road trip, at least on earth. And so we see him explaining to his disciples the importance, really, of this moment. And he gives some great instruction as well as some helps for them. But Mark chapter 14 is where we see this, verse number 22. It says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take it, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. There are some key things that are taking place here. If you can kind of get your minds around it without having to go into great detail on it, Passover was all about celebrating the freedom that they had received from being slaves in Egypt. And so normally what there'd be is a big meal. A lamb would be slaughtered because that's what it took, the blood of a lamb to save them, basically. Jesus would become that lamb, and so the lamb was in the room with them. There wasn't a lamb that we can tell for dinner even that night because the lamb was there. That would be sacrificed soon. And so when they heard bread, normally their association with bread was this. Bread was what we had to sustain life and reminds us of the suffering we had to go through, even in the wilderness and in our oppression, even in Egypt. And so bread was something about suffering to them. They understood that. And so Jesus takes that bread, and first he rips it, tears it. Great example of suffering, obviously, but they weren't thinking that context yet. And then what's he say? He says what? Take it. You know what? Jesus does the same thing with salvation. He doesn't force it upon anyone. He doesn't make you have to be a believer. You get to make that choice yourself. But he does the same thing. He's saying, take it. I'm offering it to you. I want you to take it. It's yours. But you have to be the one who takes it. And then he does something that could have been, again, very confusing because of the context. He says something that had never been said before up to this point. He says, this, as he holds the bread, this is my what? Body. Now, that's not special to us anymore so much, right? If you've been in church for any amount of time, you've heard that over and over and over again. And we're after the fact. We know what Jesus did. They didn't know what he was going to do. And what he's saying is, my body is going to be broken for you. That wasn't on their radar. But what that did, that statement in and of itself, those words, although so familiar to us, they were off script and they were jarring for the disciples. Kind of like, what's he talking about? And then when he tells them, I want you to eat it. Again, much better than a picture, isn't it? Because when we can not only hear the words, this is my body, not only smell the bread, but taste it and touch it even, and you have all these sensories, it's something to remember. And then when he says, and I want you to participate in this regularly, so why? You never, ever, ever forget what I've done for you. That is very, very important. And it's very special. Again, it, the elements, they do not save us. They're a picture, a grand picture of what it took to save us. And so again, for every believer, he wants you to participate in the Lord's Supper. And participate in a way that it is a time of remembrance for you, not just of what Jesus has accomplished, but that he's still working in your life today. And if you're having a hard time seeing God's working, then pray and ask him to help and reveal that to you, to show you, to help you to understand it, to see it. In a little bit, we're going to actually participate in this. As I mentioned, we'll do both of these this weekend. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 25, Paul is the one who's actually talking about communion, the Lord's Supper. And he goes into a little bit of detail here, a little bit more than what Mark had done even there. In verses 23 through 25, but you're going to see great similarities in what he says here. But he's trying to get across again that this is a very important time. And so he says, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body. Not his literal body, But this, my body is going to be ripped apart like this bread here, and it's for you. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in what? Remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it. In what? Remembrance of me. You notice what was happening here? The Lord's Supper was purposely set in the context of relationship. He didn't just say, go buy yourself some grape juice or some wine if you want, and go buy some bread and sit at home and remember me. He says, no, it's all about the relationship. It's remembering that I am with you, and it's remembering that every follower of Jesus Christ is participating together. That's why we do it in the context of relationship, to share food together, even the bread, the juice, is very relational. And it's an invitation to once again connect with Jesus. So I'm going to ask the ushers to come at this time, the servers, I should say, to come at this time. And we're going to partake in a reminder, a remembrance of Jesus' personal working. And if you are a Christ follower, I'm going to ask you to participate. But do some remembering before you do. If you're not a Christ follower, don't feel awkward. We're so thankful you're here with us today. But you don't have any remembering to do yet, okay? You got some believing to do first. So that's okay. Be here, all right, with us in this moment. But as the servers come, I'm going to ask that you go ahead, you take the cup, you go ahead, you take the bread as well. Just hold on to it, and we'll participate in this together after everyone's been served. But do take the time to remember God's working, whether it be for your salvation, whether it be a recent working of God, a God story that he's doing in your life. And most of all, take some reflection as well. There may be some thanks that you need to give to God. There may be some asking of forgiveness as well that you need to do with him. But take the time to examine yourself and to reflect. Let's read those words one more time as we partake together. We'll partake of the bread first and then the juice. It says, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this what? In remembrance of me. Let's take it. Then he took the juice, the wine. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, the promise that I give to you, is what he's talking about, of salvation. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's remember. With both of these, Jesus wants us to receive. Not only does he want us to receive him, he wants us to share with others, both with other believers, also to share with those who are unconvinced yet. And then most of all, he wants us to remember. I don't need a string tied around my finger to remember what Jesus has done. But we need to participate in those remembrances, those reminders, so that we never, ever forget his love for us. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you for special moments, Lord, that you give to us. The excitement of someone going public through believer's baptism. The reflection, the awe, Lord, that we have when we think about you giving your body and your blood as a sacrifice for our sins so that we can have that personal relationship with you, that gift of salvation. And we praise you for that. Help us to never, ever forget those. The reason for the road trip that you have taken for us. Praise things in Christ's name. Amen.